My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring to you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Tuesday, May 12th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. I know you've had a great day, haven't you?
It's been a great day.
It really has. I mean, no complaints. I mean, any day you're walking and talking and breathing, have something to eat, a place to sleep, you've had a good day.
Absolutely. I love every day.
Now, I want to share with you what happened to a guy, though, that didn't have such a good day. If you don't mind, the folks might like this. This wife asked this fellow, "Did I get fat during quarantine?" The husband said, "You never were really skinny. The time of death was 4/25/20, 11:23 p.m. Cause of death was coronavirus." So there you go.
There you go.
I thought you'd like that one. That's a loaded question. You know, it's a proven scientific fact, though, that men, wives that put on a few pounds live longer than men who mention it. Did you get that one to sink in?
I do. And you know what? Why couldn't it be the other way around? Why isn't it about the man gaining weight? Well, why does it have to be the woman?
Because it's a man telling the joke.
Oh, so I...
Well, you asked the question. I just answered it.
Ah, jeez Louise. I should just move on to gold because I knew I wasn't going to win that one.
Come on. Let's go ahead then. Go ahead.
I can't go against a preacher, you know. He got you.
Right. You never would.
Gold today was up 470 today at 1702.90. Silver down 3 pennies at 1556. Platinum was down 7 at 763. Palladium was down 21 at 1,934. The USDX today was down 0.26 at 99.96. Crude oil is up 1.67 at 25.81. And the paper markets today, a little negative, not by much. The Dow was down 457 points at 23,764. The NASDAQ was down 189 at 9,002. S&P was down 60 at 2,870. 10-year yield, 0.68%. Euro's been holding at 109. Hong Kong was down almost 1.5%. Everything else was fairly quiet. London was up 1%. No biggie there. So, again, everything is really quiet when we see what's happening in the economies around the world, Butch. Things are just really quiet. And I came across the American Institute Economic Research. They have some great articles. And they talk about, you know, what the feds and the central banks are doing around the world. And at the very end, he says, you know what? Everyone should be outraged by what's going on. What the Fed is up to. And he talks about if we let them get away with the politicians and macroeconomic policy experts, they will be able to control financial markets and hence our lives to a degree never before obtained in a free society. We must demand the Fed restrict itself to the confines of ordinary monetary policy. There is no stable outcome between this and a completely politicized financial sector. He says, this is our little round top. We must hold the ground at all hazards. But he talks about what the Fed is doing and how, you know, that they went from monetary policy into fiscal policy. And that's not the Fed's job. He says, and he talks about the Fed, how the Fed is revamping. And we've talked about that before in this program. You know, the financial programs, the bailouts from 2007 and 8 financial crisis. It has resumed direct purchases of longer-term government debt and mortgage-backed securities. Quantitative easing. Nobody's talking about it. It also brought back a host of other loan facilities, such as the primary dealer credit facility, whereby the Fed makes loans directly to its most important counterparties. And you have the term asset-backed securities loan facility, through which it extends loans to those with specific kinds of collateral. And now, in an unacceptable breach of established central banking practices, The Fed is now making loans directly to U.S. corporations through the primary market corporate credit facility. And through it, the Fed is purchasing newly issued corporate debt. Another facility called the secondary market corporate facility, the Fed uses to purchase existing corporate debt as well as exchange-traded funds that invest in corporate debt. The Fed currently plans to channel up to almost $1 trillion, $750 billion through these facilities. I mean, this is the things that no one, and I remember going through 07, 08, and there was outrage over what the Fed was doing in Bernanke.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
But not anymore. Where
absolutely.
Are the voices that we heard then?
Quantitative easing is going full blast, and no one even noticed it.
Yeah. I mean, and the distractions are focused on several various things that are happening across this country, right as they might be. But those are temporary. Hopefully.
Well, there's so much of it going on behind the scenes. Like everybody's focused on still on the virus and different things and trying to make it financial. People are struggling so hard right now, merely trying to pay their own bills. The government gets by with anything it wants to. The Fed does too, because they don't have time to look at it. They're trying to pay their own bills.
Yeah, but what amazes me is nobody's pointing a finger to anyone or to anybody.
No, the ones that should be aren't. I mean, where are these so-called conservative Republicans or whatever that are, we'll say, fiscal?
Well, we knew they. Yeah, but we knew all those conservative Republican politicians
we knew that.
Were
absolutely.
All.
We said that all for years. We said it for years.
Yeah, they're no good.
They're
even
not going
the
to fly in the face of this. If they fly in the face of this, they'll lose votes. So they're going to back it because it gives them more votes.
Does that mean that what the Fed is doing? I mean, it goes to the top. It goes to the numero uno one.
But it.
One dares says anything.
That's the whole point. They don't dare to. That's the whole point.
I say it.
Yeah, but
it all goes back to President Trump.
But Trump is not saying it either, at all.
He's controlling it all.
He's behind it.
He's behind it.
I agree. Totally agree.
But yet, and it is true, that man could have walked down the streets of New York and shot somebody and it wouldn't have really mattered. It just blows my mind. It just baffles me.
It is amazing. It is amazing. It is amazing, and it's dumbfounding. It makes you kind of angry, too. But, you know, you're kind of, that old saying, spitting in the wind because nobody's paying attention. You know, you live
No, they get angry at you for trying to make the connections
do.
And trying to show folks who's responsible. If one thing we learned about this administration, I think, Butch, is the amount of control that he has.
I agree.
Opening up this nation all comes from the White House and the criteria the states are supposed to follow. Yeah, I know there's some states that are always going to be, you know, messed up. But for the majority, I mean, they have to follow the protocols coming from the White House. So if everybody doesn't like what the governors are doing, and I'm not supporting the governors, but I'm just saying, if they're doing what they're told to do from the White House, how comes no one's making the connection between the governors and the White House?
Only one governor had the courage to stand against them. That was Governor of South Dakota, and her name is Noem. I don't remember her first name, but Noem was the last name. She didn't close the state down. She said, no, we're not going to do that. She said the people can make up their own mind. And I thought, wow, giving people the right to make their own decisions, that's unheard of. But she's the only one I know of that didn't bow to what was the Fed was saying, what Fauci was saying, the rest of them.
And who hired Fauci? Who put him in those positions?
I agree.
It was President Trump. You can say all you want about Fauci. You can do all the backgrounds you want on him, and I'll agree with half of them, or maybe even more of them. But the point is, who put him there? It's your president. I don't get it.
And don't tell me that Trump doesn't know what he has done to the economy. Now, I don't say him direct. I don't say him in person, but through his policies and what he's said, he has destroyed America's economy. Now, people say what you want to. This economy is not coming back like it was. With Sharon Minna, I mean, prices of food are going through the roof. Everything's happening. And they're even talking now more about the UBI coming out. We'll discuss that in a minute, too. But everything is coming together just like I have to believe that he and his minions had planned. I can't believe Trump didn't see this. If he's any kind of businessman at all,
he talked about it prior to the election, during his campaign. He knows about it.
Well, could this be part of the idea for the reset? Is that possible because all the nations are hurting the same way? Could this lead to the reset they've been wanting for years?
It could be.
I mean, they've been working that direction now for a long time.
But what I also believe, if they're using this, they're not going to use something that isn't real.
Yeah,
you know, they're not gonna use something that isn't real to the point where people can become comfortable and so forth and wreck their plans. And that's why you can question just how serious is this virus with contagion, how contagious it is. You can believe one way or another. I don't care. I'm just asking the question. Do you really think those we talk, you know? For lack of a better, I hate saying them and they and the elite, the powers to be, those in control. Do you really think that if this was the moment that they were going to reset the world, that they would use something that wasn't real and effective?
Well, you know, fear is a great motivator, and
They're not going to create the fear without something that's real, is my point, because that fear would go away quick.
Well, it's still hanging on mostly, but you could be right on that. I'm not arguing about that. You very well could be right.
Oh, I know.
But I'm totally amazed at how they did, though, through whatever lies or temporary fear or just compliance and apathy of the people, they literally shut down the world's economy. This was not a blip in his radar screen. This has been for almost 2 months now. The economy around the world has been shut down. People are getting angry. We'll discuss more about that in a minute. People getting mad, and it's about time. But they shut the place down, and it'll never come back to what it was, ever. The United States will never. I mean, even if it comes back to where jobs come back in, we do know that a lot of factories are going to start using robots in place of people. The job force that will never be like it was ever again, Melody. At least not with the pay rate they've used to getting over these years. It just is not going to happen.
I mean,
fast food's slowing down.
And what you're going to hear is when this begins to reverse itself a little bit. Oh, we're in the greatest economy. I told you we'd bring it back. Well, of course. I mean, you shut the world down and you open it up by 20%. Or 50% or 70%. It's going to make a really big difference. To some degree, a lot of this is temporary, but a lot of it is permanent. And everybody forgot that the Fed was pumping money in the repo markets back in September.
That's very true, and they haven't stopped yet.
And they,
but you know,
they're not going to stop.
Our governor reopened the restaurants here. He let them reopen. Bless his heart, to half capacity. Under restrictions of half capacity. And I don't know, I know restaurants run on a very tight profit margin, so I don't know how well they'll do with half capacity. I really don't know. So, but, you know, things are starting to come back slow but sure, but half capacity is not a lot of people in some restaurants.
No, it isn't. But I think we were probably oversaturated in restaurants to begin with. And if you're a creative business owner, you do what you have to do. You'll try more creative things, but you can't tell me that this country wasn't saturated with restaurants. I mean, how many of them could stay in business? And I'm not, again, condoning that, you know, or making excuses and so forth. I'm just saying. I mean, my gosh, there was 8 restaurants on the corner of this nation. There's as many restaurants in this nation as there used to be shopping malls. So, or gas stations. So, yeah, there a lot of them won't be coming back, you know, because they were on very thin, you know, and you know, you. Anyway, that's just what I think. But
well, there's a lot happening. I talked to people personally that were small business owners who probably are not going to pull out of it. They told me it themselves. They didn't say they could. They're not going to be pulled out of it. And I really feel sorry for them because these people that I know personally are hard workers. They put their life and sweat and blood into it.
Yep.
So
they sacrificed.
Sure. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They really did.
Yeah.
You know, one guy said he worked nights when he could be with his family, but he's trying to build something to leave his family. Now the odds are he may not get to keep it for his family.
And
that's,
you know what,
frustrating.
Yeah. You know what irritated me this weekend? They opened up, I don't know if I said this on the program yesterday, I told Dave while we were on break, they opened up the beaches.
They did.
They opened up the boardwalk. They opened up the inlet parking here in Ocean City, Maryland. But you know what ticked me off? You have people that aren't working. You have businesses that are closed. They opened the boardwalk, and they also opened up their parking. So the city made money. The city was going to make money. So that really irritated me.
Yeah, the poor business guys still trying to make it.
Let's open up the boardwalk, you know, and people could barely make it, and they could get out and get some good exercise and stuff like that, enjoy the sunshine. That was a real good positive. But then they were going to charge them. The city was going to charge them for parking. That irritated. I went in to visit my aunt, and I did not pay for parking. I don't know if I'll get a ticket or not, but I didn't pay. I wasn't going to.
Oh, you rebel, you.
I'm a rebel.
You're a rebel. But, you know, I wonder, seriously, how are cities and states and counties going to make it with the lost revenue? I know for a fact that states are really starting to have to go in the red. How are they going to get it back? If they can't raise taxes that much, people can't afford it. What's going to happen?
They'll have to ask Congress to change the laws for bankruptcy and see if the cities can file bankruptcy, but the states can't.
I don't know. This will be interesting. Wayne, this is not over. This is a tidal wave coming and still growing. You know that.
They're going to try and hold off all the bad news until after the election. I don't know if they can do that, but that's what.
I don't either. I want to say good luck on that one.
Yeah. Well, we're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot of things to talk about today. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And what's next? Let me just see if there's any other...
Like I was telling you at the break, I thought this was interesting. You know, The head CEO of AT&T is retiring, but he's going to have a really meager salary. I don't know how he's going to make it. He's only going to get $274,000 a month the rest of his life. I don't know how he's going to make it. I really don't know. At age 59 now, Trump did kind of insult him a little bit because he retired so early. It was a complimentary insult from the chief, but executive, which of course is Trump. But he, I guess, the guy can live with it for $274,000 a month. He'll be all right. And I'm not saying that he didn't earn it. I'm not saying that people start getting mad because, well, I'm not saying that. But $274,000 a month is a lot of money to draw in retirement. When a lot of people can't even pay the bills right now. I'm not picking that. Maybe he earned it. I'm not just saying that. But that's such an imbalance. It really is. And so I just don't know. But I know that the federal government in April spent almost $738 billion more, in the hole, which is, I think, like $200 billion higher than it was last year. But they keep on putting money up, and $160 billion more than it was last year. But they keep putting out more money and more promises and more money to come. I'm not real sure how they're going to do this because they're really, really, really pushing the UBI. Now, this article says universal basic income and the end of the republic. U.S. economy is sinking, and some on the far left have a preposterous plan prevent Americans from drowning in more unpaid bills and debt. Melody, don't they understand that the more they do that way, the less it's going to be worth, it's going to cost more bills and debt? Can't they see that? I mean,
ask the guy who doesn't have a job anymore, or ask the guy whose business is going under because they can't open.
Yes. All this does is throw a little water in the fire. It's going to spread even more when this comes together.
I agree.
It says stay at home and don't worry about anything.
Going to be an easy sell.
Well, of course it is. They said you stay at home, we give you $2,000 a month, and that's a and they're saying here that the unemployment skyrocketed 14.7%. I am convinced it's a lot more than 15%. I'm convinced it's a lot more than that, Melody. It has to be more than that. They said it skyrocketed more than 14.7%. I doubt that's very conservative numbers, I do believe. But the UBI, the promise of easy money, as you said, will draw people in. Hey, Melody, we've all fell for it. Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, unemployment, whatever. We all fell for it, man. We believe that man's ideas were good. We forgot about what our God said, our Creator said. We trusted man. And to show you what it might lead to, now this is interesting. This is Caracas, Venezuela.
Caracas.
I'll Breitbart News. Would you believe that everyone in Venezuela is a millionaire? Now, I'm not making up, people. This is for real. The Bolivarian Revolution has raised a minimum wage over 50 times throughout the past 20 years. As of May 2020, it has been said that 400,000 bolivars plus 400,000 socialist food ticket bonus bring it to an astounding 800,000 bolivars per month. Per month. Millions of people rely on minimum wage incomes. The government keeps a number of people on minimum wage in the country largely under wraps, although everyone that works in the public sector is pretty much subject to the minimum wage. Salaries in the dwindling private sector are also usually betterish. The elderly under pension, 4.5 million citizens as of that year ago, are also subject to minimum wage. Sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, that's a pretty looking number. Then you realize that those amounts to approximately $4 to $5 U.S. dollars per month. And then the reality kicks in. 800,000 boulevards a month, and they're worth about $4 to $5 U.S. dollars. And our dollar is very weak. But can you imagine this? Can you imagine what it must cost to buy a loaf of bread when you get 400,000 boulevards a month just for groceries?
I mean, that is just a prime example, and I often bring this up, is I don't know if they're still holding a record on their stock market, but let's say a year ago they were their stock market was hitting record highs, and people couldn't buy any bread.
Yes. Yep.
So, you know, inflation will push the stock market higher. So does everything else go, and you still can't buy a loaf of bread. So that's what's coming.
Well, I understand people's frustration, and you know, and that $1,200 they got, I know for a fact that my family helped pay. One of them was my youngest son, been laid off temporarily. He helped pay some bills. He actually paid a couple things off, and that's wonderful. But how are we going to get that back and pay it back? What are we going to do? I mean, they're not going to pay it back. They're ignoring that. As a matter of fact, the debt is so big, they're not even thinking about paying anything back. We both know that.
No,
Everybody knows that.
They're not going to
pay
it
back. They're not going to pay it back.
Yeah.
So that either you're going to do a reset and get everything somewhat back to normal as far as inflation, or you're going to have inflation eventually so high that we'll be like Venezuela. There's no other way around it. It's either that. It's either or. Either one or other one. So, we'll see. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know, but the time has got to be getting close. As you said, they hope to make it past election, and we'll see about that. But I don't think they'll make it, because with what's happening with the so-called comeback in the economy, it's starting to reopen again. I don't know, Melody. It's really a serious situation. And now the companies are talking about putting robots in to take place of the people that didn't work during the pandemic. They want to replace them with robots. So that means jobs that people had no desire to quit, wasn't ready to walk out on them, but were told to, are now going to be replaced by robots. So where are they going to work? I mean, where are they going to go back to? What are they going to do? So this is something that's really serious to think about.
Well, I mean, it's just like any manufacturing that comes back into this country. It's going to be, you know, I mean, they'll, you know, it's going to be robots. I mean, they'll hire some people, but the jobs that manufacturing used to provide for folks who, you know, didn't graduate from high school or I mean, at least they could have a decent job. They'd have job security. They'd have health care. They'd be able to participate in various things. That's gone. If manufacturing comes back to this country, those are not the jobs that will be created. Those days are history.
I agree. It's so sad.
The workforce. I don't know which is sadder, Butch, though. People who don't recognize the fact that that's not coming back. That's sad, too.
Well, people, as I said before in the program, the two great motivators, number one is false hope. As long as you give people hope, they'll follow about all the rules. And, of course, the second one is fear. But false hope, hey, it's going to get better. Just trust us now. You shut the place down, follow our orders. It's going to turn around here soon. You'll go back, you know, everything back to normal. That is false hope. It is not going to happen. And I don't want to keep standing up and make people feel desperate and angry, but the economy will never go back to what it was in January. And it wasn't good then.
I wish we could have things go back, but we're past that point where we can't go back. Not until we hit, not unless there's rubble.
Yeah. I agree.
And then we're not sure what would be built. But we're not going back unless there's rubble. And I don't think folks really want to live through the rubble in order to get there. I don't know.
May not have any choice.
Might not have any choice.
You know, another.
I firmly believe we're not going to have an election. If we have an election, and if Mr. Trump loses, I do believe we'll hear nothing about how it's been fixed and so forth. So, I mean, it's going to be dragged out for a long period of time. So I'm not sure if there will be an election this year. And that's the first time I've said that in 25 years.
It's been said before, but this time I think it could be real.
I never agreed with it, and I always argued against it. And I said, no, it's not going to. This time, I do believe there will not be an election. But
well, another one of my papers said that Biden's going to choose Hillary's running mate. That's starting to pick up steam. Whether it happens or not, I don't know. Then another one says he's going to go with President
Kamala Harris.
Yeah. We'll go with her. I don't know. Some say Michelle. We will see. I don't know.
I'll tell you what. I think Biden lost the election when he said he was going to choose a woman. I think the only woman that he'd be able to win would be with Amy Klobuchar, because she's in the heartland of this country, and you don't have to agree with her politics, and I don't. I certainly don't. But she's likable. Who can like Kamala Harris? She's a nasty woman. She's nasty. And I think he would have won if he would have had a strong man behind him. So that's just my point.
That's possible. You know, back to a different topic, but it's important nonetheless. Meat shortages go mainstream with rations and menu changes. Now, I never thought in this country I'd see a time they're actually rationing meat. This says chalk it up to a side effect nobody ever expected from the pandemic. Meat is becoming difficult to get. Who would have expected this to result in grocery stores across the country rationing meat purchases? Who would have ever thought the COVID-19 virus would mean that places like Wendy's would stop selling burgers altogether? Then McDonald's would cut its menu to only a handful of offerings. Workers at the meat packaging plants have been especially hard hit with the coronavirus. Almost 60% of the employees at one Tyson plant in Iowa have tested positive for COVID. Plants everywhere are shutting down for safety issue of the employees, and despite President Trump's invocation of the Defense Production Act to force them to reopen, many workers have refused to return to the plants. Factory farms have called millions of cows, hogs, and chickens because they cannot be to plants that are either closed or reducing the amount of meat they're able to process while practicing social distancing. Historically, the centralization of food has always ended in disaster. Unfortunately, giant CAFCO operations and USDA approval have centralized our food supply, and here we are. Do the meat shortages mean that you have to become a vegetarian? Well, that is one option. You don't want to say that, you know, if you can find it, buy it in bulk while you can. Even if you get it to last longer than a winter, if it lasts 2 years, the price is going to go so high, you'll be glad you bought it now because the price will never get any lower. I know for sure that I have a few head of cattle that we can sell here where I'm at, and I'm going to announce it here pretty soon in the neighborhood and put up an advertising, and I do believe it'll go pretty quick because now's the time to get it. It ain't going to get any cheaper, folks. By this time as fall gets here, whether you buy it on the hoof or whether you buy it at a wholesale market, cut and wrapped, the prices are going to go really up. As a matter of fact, it says U.S. grocery costs jumped the most in 46 years, led by rising prices for meat and eggs. Back in 1974, Mel, I know you remember that year when Nixon more or less took the gold out of the international dollar, and also inflation went through the roof, and he put the price freezes on. Do you remember the price freezes?
I do.
It didn't work.
Barely.
The prices kept skyrocketing anyway. But now the food price have jumped higher than it has in the last 46 years, almost half a century. The food prices have jumped that much in the last couple of months. So, people, don't kid yourself. The food's going to be very expensive. You can do it without a lot of things. You can do it without a new car or a new boat or a lot of things, but you can't do without it without food and water. Those are the things you must have to live, obviously. So, when you walk in the store and see the meats and poultry and eggs and other places raising every week, you'll know what's happening. If you have a chance to buy beef in bulk now or any kind of meat that you want in bulk, you better get it while you can because it's going to be really scarce. Again, I'm not trying to make anybody scared. I'm not trying to scare people, Billy. I'm trying to tell them the truth to help them. If you can get it, get it. Because whether you like I said, either not in a year or 2 years, if you can keep it froze, it's going to be good, and the prices will continue to go up anyway. So get it while you can. That's all I can say. I noticed the price of gas went up here 10 cents today. It's amazing. I mean, it didn't drop very fast, but it sure went up quick. It was kind of a soft spot for a Wallace for a while, but that's going to go up again also. Because we're going back to work, people start buying, the price is going to go up again. So prepare yourself. Best gains, all I can say.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's all I can say.
I mean, it is important, you know. It is important. And, you know, and just make sure that if you have a freezer that you have some sort of a backup or something if power goes out during the wintertime or something. It can go out during the summertime with hurricanes and so forth. So make sure you have some sort of other power source or you'll be cooking up a lot of beef and and having a big old party. But remember, only 10 per group.
There you go. Well, you know, a lot of people, I remember Marcia did a lot, that's my wife, folks, and did it a lot years ago. She would can a lot of meat. Canned meat will keep for years. So if you're, you know, before you even had a freezer, if I killed a deer or something or bought a little bit of beef, she would can it. That way it stayed fresh, you know, for about any weather changing. And if you do have a freezer, if you can, keep it dry and in a decent environment, of course, but I keep mine in an outbuilding. In the wintertime, if it's cold enough, the power does go off, the meat doesn't thaw anyway.
That's true.
So these are things you have to think about. I don't know what the future is going to hold, but I do know that the price of food is going to go up, and you have to eat, so if you can afford it now, you better get it now. That's the best I can say.
And don't forget your toilet paper, right, Butch?
Yeah, that's kind of handy, too. Now, if you like me, I have one of those places called an outhouse. Never use it much, but it's out there if I need it. So, you know, we have it here. I mean, living in the hills, you may do.
And lots of trees.
Lots of trees, you're right. Exactly right. And now Fauci's telling the people that your children will probably not go back to school this fall.
I can't believe that.
That's what he's saying. He said that they're going to try to keep the schools closed. He said revealed Tuesday morning that a return to school in fall would be a bit of a bridge too far during a city Senate committee hearing. So,
well, that's up to President Trump, isn't it?
I guess it is. And it's actually up to the states also. I mean, they can make a decision if they do it.
And I hear we're heading into a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And just to touch on this just a little bit before we move on to something else, the U.S. Today reported a record $738 billion budget deficit in April as an explosion in government spending and shrinking of revenues, all due to the virus, pushed it deeply into the red. The Treasury Department said the budget deficit in April was the first to reflect the enormity of the government spending that has been authorized to try to mitigate the economic impact, as I talked about earlier. The previous record budget deficit for any month was $235 billion in February of 2020. Until recently, most of the country was under the strict lockdown. Let's see if there's any more interesting here. The fiscal year-to-date deficit surged to $1.48 trillion compared to a $531 billion deficit in a comparable period in 2019, blasting past the previous monthly deficit record of $870. So, really incredible. But anyway.
I guess you didn't hear me talk about that a little while ago, did you?
Well, you just mentioned a couple of things. You didn't really...
Ah, okay. I didn't go detail enough. Okay.
You didn't go
all
detail.
Right. I stand corrected.
Get a little more specific, please.
and another situation that maybe occurred to some people, but I hadn't really thought about it, said unprecedented U.S. braces for a pandemic to drive largest refugee wave ever to the border. Ever. Economic calamities caused by the coronavirus pandemic could trigger a historic wave of migration from Latin America to the United States, according to officials. If there is economic collapse in a given country, it's only natural that there will be a migration flow to places where the economy is more robust. Folks, I don't know if that's the United States anymore or not. I really don't. But anyway, U.S. Agency for International Development Acting Administrator John Barsa told the Washington Examiner, "Are we concerned about the economic impacts that it might have, which could lead to migration? Absolutely. I can see it now. We can absorb another 30, 40 million illegals coming in and giving them benefits, free health care, free schooling, free everything. I mean, why not? I mean, we can afford it. We can spend a trillion dollar just like you and I buy a soft drink. It's no big deal. So why not let them come on in? But they're saying that this is going to be the largest ever, I guess, to people coming to the border wanting in. What's coming to
I think the key thing there, Butch, is we have to have a good economy, and that's what we're not going to have. Right?
Well, I would think so. But ours may be better than the ones in Mexico or Guatemala. It may be better than that. I don't know. And if we keep giving them freebies to come across the border, why not come anyway?
Well, they come for the freebies, but... Hey, they're building that wall down there, Butch, so we don't have to worry about anything.
Oh, yeah. Yep, Trump was going to stop all migration. Immigration, so, he was. Yeah. He's going to stop it all. Yeah. He was.
Yeah, so.
So, I don't know. Maybe we're missing it. I don't get it, but I'm concerned that, seriously, if we keep giving these people money, and I'm not saying I don't feel sympathetic for their situations. I do. I really do. But we can't afford to feed the world off the backs of American people.
All they have to do is come in legally. That's all we ask.
Yeah. Come in, actually try to find a job.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And you probably saw this too. U.S. deploys B-1B's warships in South China Sea as China and ISIS call for invasion of Taiwan. Now, this is could be hot stuff. While the global economy remains in a state of near ambiguous lockdown due to the coronavirus pandemic, the U.S. military has been busy. According to the Public Air Force's website, B-1B Lancer Strategic Bomber, part of the 9th Expeditionary Bomb Squadron, was one of the two B-1s conducting a training mission in South China Sea in support of Pacific Air Force training efforts and strategic deterrence missions to reinforce a rules-based international order in the Indo-Pacific region. The training mission follows what Stars and Stripes described on April 30th as a show of force by U.S. military in the South China Sea with a sortie over the contested waters on Thursday by two Air Force bombers. The B-1B Lancers from the 28th Bomb Wing of Ellsworth Air Force Base, South Dakota, flew a 32-hour round trip to conduct operations over the sea as part of a joint bomber task force by U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, the U.S. Strategic Command, the Air Force said in news release Thursday. The mission further demonstrated its service's new dynamic force employment model, which is intended to make its global bomber presence less predictable, the Air Force said. So now, Mel, they have capability to fly from South Dakota to South China Sea and back 32 hours without stopping for refueling. So that's a long reach, is it not?
It certainly is.
And so they now they said that they can hit any place in the world, basically, be unpredictable where they're going to turn up. That's why they're doing that, just to show people that we have this ability.
Wow.
So it is something. If China would happen to invade Taiwan, is it going to happen? I don't know. But China... They're calling for it. The ISIS are calling for it. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Oh, amazing.
It is amazing. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, that's what we need right now, a war with China. We're doing so well, right? We just need a war with China. Nothing to worry about.
Well,
we'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
Yeah. It'll be okay. Trump
will
take care
okay.
of it.
Yeah.
Send us a $2,000 a month and go after them.
Yeah, you betcha. I can go to the beach. They'll give me money to pay the parking tickets.
Oh, I said, you rebel. You're a rebel. Tell you what. Now, this I think is important enough to share. because a president of a country found them lying about coronavirus big time. I'll read it to you. This is out of Zero Hedge. As the number of confirmed coronavirus cases explodes across Africa, the creeping involvement of the WHO, a WHO, has made some leaders suspicious of the NGO. Tanzanian President John Manafuli was growing suspicious of the organization, so he reportedly decided to investigate whether the organization was as trustworthy and reliable as it claimed to be. He played what the local press described as a trick on the organization. He sent the WHO samples of goat, a papaya, and a quail for testing. All three samples reportedly tested positive. When the president heard the news, he reportedly confronted the WHO and kicked the organization out of the country. Though to be sure, the WHO had yet to comment on the situation. That would suggest one of two conclusions. Either the strain of SARS COVID-2 running amok in Tanzania is much, much more infectious than scientists understood, or the WHO has been reporting incorrect results either on purpose as an attempt to bolster its credibility in the face of President Trump's attacks, or via error, yet another indication that the WHO truly is badly broken, as Vox described it back in 2015. Most rational people would probably accept the latter scenario as the most accurate one. So a papaya, a goat, and a quail all tested positive for coronavirus. So this president of Tanzania, I have to take my hat off to him and shake his hand. He found out whether this is real or not, and he found out it wasn't, and he kicked two out. That's one small country that said, no, we're not falling for this trick. So, comments on that one?
No.
No comments, really. Okay. That's amazing.
Who, me? No.
Yeah, you. I mean, no comments. And Elon Musk is reopening his Tesla factory. Vehicles are parked at the Tesla car plant Monday, May 11th, 2020, in Fremont, California. The parking lot was nearly full of Tesla's California Electric Car Factory Monday as an indication that the company could do more. Tesla's California Electric Car Factory resumed operation Monday in violation of Alameda County's shelter in place order, as CEO Elon Musk tweeted, "If anyone is arrested, I ask that be me, only be me." The parking lot at the Massey plant in Fremont, which employs 10,000 workers, was nearly full Monday. It appeared to have a similar number of vehicles as it does when the factory is fully operating. A normal complement of workers would violate orders from the Alameda County Health Department, which was deemed Tesla's Fremont factory as a non-essential business. Of course, this means they're not supposed to open it, because if he opened anyway, he's more or less said, if you're going to arrest somebody, arrest me. Maybe a little bit of a dare in his voice. And if anybody can afford to fight, I say he is a man to do that with. So we'll see what happens out of that. He more or less turned the nose at him and said, I'm going back to work. I'm going to put people back to work. So we'll see what happens. So comments on that one, Miss Melody?
No. Actually, you know what? It makes me, you know, I mean, it is nice to see these guys, you know, do something for their employees and everything. But, you know, in the meantime, I mean, I have to read a little bit more about what he does with his free time. Is he hunkered down somewhere, you know, and, you know, just wanting his people to go back to work? Or is he going to be in the trenches with his workers? You know, is he going to provide, you know, some safety elements for them and so forth? You know, in case, you know, something goes through.
I'm sure they'll come out sooner or later. Well, I mean, sure.
You know, so, but yeah, a lot of these, yeah, some of these voices out there who want to do this and that, then, you know, they're all germaphobes, and, you know, which is okay. I mean, they have the money to do it, and I'm not criticizing that end, you know, but it would be nice to see some of these guys down in the trenches with their workers. So,
time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell.
And this is happening all across country. This happened in Colorado. Says so much for people saying nobody would show up. Colorado restaurant owners boast about her packed dining room after breaking law to open for Mother's Day, as Governor Polis slams her for endangering lives. And it shows video of her at the Castle Rock CNC Coffee and Kitchen was shared online. It shows crowds of people waiting for their food, many without masks and not social distancing on Sunday. Owner April Alarino said so much for people saying nobody would show up. Restaurants are still limited to take out only with social distancing restrictions in Shasta County, but apparently they're doing it there anyway. And of course, somebody, some guy, some person filed a complaint, and, you know, said he took a picture of what they're doing because he knew he was doing wrong. But the people went back to work, and of course the health department has closed them again for at least 30 days, and said they'll not be open for at least 30 days, and because the governor says people need to feel safe. They didn't feel safe because she opened up. My thing is, if you don't feel safe, don't go there. Stay home. I'm sorry it hurt your feelings, honey bunch, but stay home. People won't go there and eat. Let them go there and eat. She's trying to pay her crew. She's trying to keep her business open.
But it also works, and I agree. But it also works on the other way. If you have a restaurant that says masks only, well, then those who don't want to wear a mask shouldn't go in.
Yeah, that's private business.
So
it
does work both. It works both ways on both sides.
I agree.
And, you know, hey, if a restaurant opens up, I mean, there are laws. You can debate whether they're constitutional or not, but, you know, there are, you know, laws and so forth. And, you know, you have those who follow, and then you have one who doesn't. And I can't imagine.
Rebels like you.
And I support them. You know, I mean, this is tough times. Decisions that we have to make.
It is. And some of these are life-changing decisions for people.
Life-changing decisions.
Absolutely. And this happened also.
And I agree with you. I mean, hey, if you don't care about it, and you don't care if you risk, and you think it's all a hoax and everything, well, be my guest. And those of you who, you know, don't want to go, don't go.
That's the way it is. Make your own choice, but do what you want. Just don't bother us when we do what we think is necessary. I mean, Texas is doing the same thing. I mean, Texas arrested her, as you know, but the governor of the state pardoned her for doing that. So there's things people are starting to say, this is enough. And one bar and gym in Odessa, Texas, opened, aided by men who drove hundreds of miles to stand outside the businesses with guns. Now, this is not pleasant. I'm not condoning this. I'm not saying to him. But it's coming to the point where this could lead to some more trouble. As a matter of fact, the Target store in Los Angeles, two men refused to put on a mask. They were assailed by three security guards. Then the cameras caught the three security guards escorted two men out of the store for refusing to wear a face mask. As they've been escorted out, one of the suspects turned around, shoved one of the guards, and hit him in the face. One guard ended up with a broken arm. Of course, they said we were just doing our jobs. Of course, this guy had been arrested for assault. But people are getting angry. Whether it's good or bad, they're getting mad.
But the security guards are doing their job. That's what we do in this country. We do our job. The sign says, in order to enter, you have to wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, that's fine. Don't go in. Don't push it. There's some people out there who do like the confrontation.
Oh, yeah.
They do like it.
But, you know, after this happened, security guards are told that they shouldn't handle it that way. So that's a fine time to tell them, wasn't it?
Well, then that's a fine time to tell them. Then, you know, tell them how to handle it. But, of course, they probably just said that to eliminate any lawsuits or anything like that that might come in the future.
Well, that's
it's a mad,
it really
mad,
is.
Mad, mad world. In
getting interesting.
800-375-4188. I sure hope you all listened and enjoyed listening to the program as much as I enjoyed being here with Pastor Butch and you all. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
A single penny left for me. That's too bad.